Yeah, we're talking about lying today, and I always like audience participation. I hate it when you guys just sit out there. I might as well just talk on a tape and take it home and listen to it. Maybe you'd prefer that. But I prefer a little audience participation. So I have a gift, awesome gift here, wrapped in this Amazon Minions box. For who can give me the best definition for what is a lie? If you had to define it, how would you define a lie? Okay, not telling the truth, which is dependent on us knowing what the definition for truth is. So, assuming we may not know that or even agree on what the definition of truth is, what is a lie? Okay, an intentional statement of untruth, still requiring us to know what truth means. Close. An intent to deceive, okay? Okay, a statement that uses facts, but maybe not all of the facts. The lie of omission. So, sure. Oh, so not just not saying some of the facts, but just absently not saying any of the facts, okay? Types of lies, definitely. Definition. Knowing what you should say, but saying something else. I like that. Okay, the truth reversed. Yeah, I would say definitely where truth is not, lie exists. But must define truth then. Awesome gift. Josh, come on up. Rainbow trout. There you go, Josh. Give him a hand. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Definition of a lie. The pastor. Yes. When is it okay to lie? Ever? Is it ever okay to lie? These aren't trick questions. I'm just asking what you think. Is it okay to lie sometimes? Sure. Yeah, a white lie makes it, the lie is white, which is a better type of lie. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, your wife says, you know, these pants make my butt look big. Please don't ask me that question. Ooh, life or death. Okay. Other reasons? Sure. So sometimes it's okay to lie, life or death, or with birthday parties. These are questions we have, and I think it's important we answer them. And today we're going to do our best we can to answer it. A gal named Kathy Benjamin from Mental Floss, if you've ever paid attention to Mental Floss, good stuff. She says this, there are two things you can say for sure about human beings. First is our opposable thumbs make us great at using tools. And we're all big, fat liars. By age 4, 90% of children have grasped the concept of lying, and it really just gets worse from there. But how bad is it? According to a study in 2002 conducted by the University of Massachusetts, 60% of adults can't have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. 60% of all adults cannot have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. Now, this number actually, I think, makes it sound a little better than it is, because Those who lied in this study actually told an average of 3 lies in that 10-minute segment. And when the majority of those that lied said ahead of time that they don't lie. Catch this. "Hi, Mr. Smith. We're doing a study on lying. Do you lie?" "No." "Well, we'd like you to do a 10-minute conversation and see if you lie during it." "But I don't lie." "Well, do it anyways." During the conversation, they lied 3 times. We lie to most people, but our parents definitely get the worst of it. The Day America Told the Truth study was done with 86% of us lying to our parents on a regular basis. 86% of people lie to their parents on a regular basis, followed by friends at 75%, siblings at 73%, and spouses at 69%. Spouses, 69%. But in general, we usually don't lie about things that are actually significantly important. We lie about little things that we think will make us look better or more likable. In fact, in a survey by a British film rental company, 30% of respondents to their survey lied about seeing the movie The Godfather. They hadn't seen it, but they lied about seeing it. Do you know why? Because in the study, they asked the question, "Have you seen The Godfather?" And all it really took was one person to say yes, and the other people, whether they had seen it or not, responded positively that they had seen it. Because people think of the movie The Godfather, whether you've seen it or not, as some kind of an iconic film of some sort, and people quote it and say these really weird things all the time, and it seems like if you're really an American, or you care about movies, or really if you have a pulse, you have to have seen The Godfather. And so people said, "Yes, I saw The Godfather." The study revealed that there were times that there were 3 or 4 people talking about the movie The Godfather, and none of them had seen it. Can you imagine the absurdity of that conversation? Just little tidbits of things they had grasped in culture, and they were talking about, "Oh yeah, it's a really good scene. What is it?" And then someone else has to pick it up, right? But someone that never saw the movie. But they lie about it because they want to feel a part of the group. They want to feel like they're okay. They lie about ridiculous things to make themselves look better or to be more likable. Sometimes we lie about things that matter. According to one estimate, 40% of people lie on their resumes. People, by the way, use the internet for dating services. And according to a study by the Scientific American, a whopping 90% of internet dating users lie online on their profile. Just their profile, not even the chatting back and forth, the initial profile that they put out there. And the biggest fibbers, told by women, and you know what category? Women weigh 8.5 pounds less online than they do in the real world. See, they say TV ad 10 pounds, internet you lose 10 pounds. Men, on the other hand, also lie on their profiles, and they lie to try and convince people that they're taller, richer, and better educated than they are. And maybe you think, "Well, goodness, who could I possibly trust?" A study by the University of Toronto found that it's actually the most trusting people. Trusting people are the best at determining whether you're lying or not. So if you lie to a trusting person, they can identify your lie better than just another liar. Do we lie? Yeah, we do. There's some common reasons for lying. I put together just a few of them, but this kind of hits the top. And one of these, if not all of these, should fit you. There really shouldn't be anyone in here that one of the things that I'm going to list here don't somehow fit you, because these are the top reasons why all of us tell fibs at one point or another. Number one reason is we lie to save face. We lie because we don't want to own up to something. We want to save our reputation. We want to, whatever the situation, we just want to save face. So we lie about it. But we don't want to look bad. Which brings, really, what happens as a result of that lie really falls into the second category, is that we lie to shift blame. So we don't want to look bad, so we try and make someone else look bad. We shift the blame to somebody else. They say that when it comes to employees and management, this is the number one area of lying. Is that we lie to management and shift blame to someone else. So we don't look bad, we make somebody else look bad, we blame them. And that's a big deal. Third one is we lie to avoid confrontation. What happens when you defer confrontation? When you don't address it when it needs to be addressed? What happens in that confrontation? Any people lived any life here that's experienced some of that? Yeah, it's going to happen. But it's going to happen later, after it smolders a little longer, after it gets a little more energy. And then when we start to lie to defer that confrontation, that's really kindling on top of that fire, and eventually you have a blaze, an inferno of confrontation. It's never good to avoid confrontation. We have talked about this before multiple times in many different messages, that really when an issue comes up, we have to address it. But when we lie to defer it, to push it off, it just adds fuel to the fire. So lying doesn't really avoid confrontation. It just makes sure your confrontation is going to be really unenjoyable when you do have it. And if you didn't think you were to blame, you will now be to blame. Fourth one. Some of us just lie just to get our own way. This is not just playground tactics. Adults do this. When they look at different personality types as to who does this to get their own way, they do identify that those that would self-identify as a control freak will have a tendency to lie to get people to do what they want people to do, to go along with what you want to go along. Sometimes it's just stretching the truth. Sometimes it's a lie through omission. Sometimes it's a lie about facts or what the reality really will be if someone doesn't do what you want them to do. And so we lie in order to get our own way and get people to do what we want them to do. This is the one that most of us think is okay. Maybe we call these our white lies, but the fifth one is we lie to be nice. We lie to be nice. Anyone appreciate being lied to? They're just trying to be nice to you. It doesn't feel nice. We're going to talk a little bit more about this one specifically as we go on, but I want to throw kind of a little tidbit out there for you. That sometimes when we are confronted with something that we're concerned that our truthful response will do damage or not be nice. For example, if someone comes out of a dressing room and said, you know, do these pants make my butt look big? The response does not have to include all of the facts that are in your head. An honest response can be, you look beautiful in anything you wear. I think you liking it is more important than me liking it. See, these are truthful responses, even though their butt looks bigger. An omission of some information doesn't necessarily mean a lie when the information that is shared is truthful and is beneficial and is honest and integrity-filled. But you don't have to just be the kind of person that says, hey, I'm an honest person, so I just say stuff and you hurt really bad when you're around me. But I'm just a truth speaker. I just share the truth. Those of you that do that, especially when you wear this as a badge of honor around, hey, I just share the truth, just how I'm wired. Uh-uh, stop it. You're just hurting people for no reason. Make sure you pay attention to the way you share truth. I'm not asking you to lie. I'm not asking you to sugarcoat it necessarily. But I am asking that you pay attention to the way that you do share truth and make sure that the truth that you share is truthful and beneficial to the person that you say it, and not just a way for you to say whatever you want to say and then just brand it as, hey, it's truth, so just deal with it, even though I just crushed you into dust. And not only does it make your butt look big, but it's not helpful, not beneficial. And truth? The Bible says share truth in what? In love. And love is caring for the other person more than you care for yourself. So, sometimes we say we lie to be nice, not so nice to be lied to. But maybe there's a way that you can share truth in a way that is kind, that is gentle, that is appropriate, and not hurtful or harsh. And the last one I'll share with you here in this common reasons for lying is lying to make yourself feel better. This is where you lie to yourself. And We spend millions, if not billions of dollars every year with counselors and therapists to get through these issues of us lying to ourselves, where we tell ourselves one thing that we know isn't true when we start the journey, but we've just convinced ourselves over time that it is true. And when you go to, let's say, Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, one of the first things that you have to do is you have to come to a place of accepting that you are an alcoholic or you are an addictive, you are having addictive tendencies or you are addicted to whatever the substance is. The first thing is admitting to yourself. It's going past all the lies. And what we do is we justify and we rationalize so that we don't have to own up to our stuff. And the first thing you've got to do to get past this is own up, to realize what you've done and the lies that you've told yourself and be honest with yourself. So sometimes we lie to make ourselves feel better. But these are just some common reasons that we lie. And most of us here today would probably wholeheartedly agree that lying is not very good and something that we shouldn't do. But we don't all agree here today that lying is actually bad in all situations and even see lying as a necessity in some situations. I've even had people tell me, they go so far as to say that in some situations, lying is the Christian thing to do. I disagree. I don't think that lying is good in any situation. I don't think you can really develop a situation in which lying is acceptable, and I do have a qualifier for that. We'll get to that in a moment. They're going to be rare. Most of us will never hit that situation. But lying isn't good. And the reason why is because of what God has to say about it. And because of the wake of destruction that lying has, even when we think we're doing good with our lies. The Ten Commandments, commandment number 9, Exodus 20:16, you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Do not lie. A little further in Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. You must not pass along false rumors. You must not cooperate with evil people by lying on the witness stand. You must not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you are called to testify in a dispute, do not be swayed by the crowd to twist justice. And do not slant your testimony in favor of a person just because that person is poor. Saying, don't lie. Even when the person is an underdog in a situation, do not lie. Don't twist your testimony. You need to be truthful in all situations. No reasons for lying. Do not lie. Psalm 101, verse 7. God says, I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house, and liars will not stay in my presence. You see, God is truth. The scriptures teach us that God is truth. And he can't be around those that distort the truth and ignore the truth by lying. Liars will not and cannot be in God's presence. You ponder that just for a moment. God is truth. And so where there is not truth, God will not be. If we are not truth, we cannot be in God's presence. Liars will not stay in my presence. There's a lot of verses in Proverbs. I picked just a couple of them here. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. God has pretty strong feelings about truth and strong feelings about lying. But his character and his nature is truth, and so he can't be a part of dishonesty. He can't be a part of an absence of truth because he is truth, his character and his nature. Proverbs 18:7, the mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. See, liars are always found out, and liars are the fools. Jump to the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Under no circumstances are we to lie to one another. When we became Christians, we were to change from one way of doing life to another. And that change is to be like our Creator. And that's to be the opposite of lies, because He is truth. This issue that is raised by this verse is one that I find myself thinking about a lot lately. I'm concerned that for some of us, well, not here at Hillcrest, of course, other Christians, that for some of us, we do a lot of lip service to our faith. We say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And our evidence for a Christian is I go to church and I, you know, do whatever. I read my Bible. I do, I don't know, Christian stuff. But when you look at, like, the core of who we are, the evidence doesn't back up the statements. In other words, this verse is saying that before, when you weren't a Christian, or when you were living by a different standard, you lied, as we all lie. But then when you become a Christian, you're supposed to shed the old life and put on something new, this idea of a new nature, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. And that a new creation does something different. So lying was something of the old nature, but for some reason in our Christian lives, we still lie on a regular basis, and we justify it and rationalize it, and we're okay with it, because they're not big lies, they're small lies, or they're not like life-changing or altering lies, they're just little lies here and there. And we're not convicted by it at all. And this verse is saying that if that's the case, you're living in the old life and you haven't put on the new. This next year, I've been working on this series, be a four-week series called The Christian Atheist, and really working through some of these issues of do we just say that we're Christians, or do we really live out what it means to be a Christian? And I'm challenged with this with our current, you know, Western Christianity culture, where we come to church and we say, you know, this is what makes me a Christian, but yet if you look at the checkbook of our life, the register doesn't match up with our words. You can't lie and call yourself a follower of Christ. I mean, you can make mistakes, we all do, but to be okay with it, to just say it's just how I do stuff, I'm not convicted by it, I'm going to continue doing it, it goes directly against what God's Word tells us when it comes to lying and what God thinks about it, and it's completely against His nature. Jesus' words at John 18, the end of verse 37, He says, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth, and all who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. Jesus came to testify, to point to truth. And He says, those that love truth, those that have shed the old and put on the new nature, those that love truth can identify and see the truth and see what I say is true. Jesus' famous words on truth on John 14, 6, He said, I am the way, and I am the truth. I am the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is truth. God is truth. An absence of truth is an absence of God's presence. We're to be a people marked by that truth. And the last verse I want to share with you is what Jesus says, John 8:32. He says, and you will know the truth. And it is the truth that will set you free. And a lot of us live in bondage. A lot of us are in bondage to our lies. And the only thing that will get you out of it is not more lies. What will get you out of your situation is not more good deeds, good works, more church attendance, more Bible reading, buying bigger Bibles, thicker Bibles, going to Bible school, going to seminary, becoming a pastor. None of that will get you out of your mess. The only thing that will is truth, because the truth is the only thing that's going to set you free. Because Jesus is truth. And we have to own up to our stuff, own up to our lies, own up to our lives, and it's through Christ that we're saved. See, it's only in truth that we can find freedom. And lies build upon lies and require more lies to sustain the house of cards that we build. But it's only in truth that we can build a foundation that will last. Especially in things like our relationships. You can't build a marriage on lies. You can't start a marriage on lies, and you can't grow a healthy marriage on lies. 69% of couples lie to each other, and that should stop. You can't build relationships with children. Children, it can't build relationships with your parents. It can't build healthy relationships with employers. It can't build a healthy relationship with friends. You can't lie and have integrity. You can't lie and have honor. And you can't lie and have faith. I mean, for the most part, our application day is about as simple as it gets. Maybe at this point you're saying, I'm not really sure what the application is here today, Doug. Here it is. Don't lie. That's it. Pastor Doug said a lot of different stuff. Yeah. This is the only thing you have to hear. Don't lie. Any situation, any way you're going to justify it, rationalize it, know that's wrong, and just don't lie. Just like last week when we talked about stealing and really coveting kind of falls into the same category here. Stealing is a byproduct of what? What did we talk about last week? Not being content. A lack of contentment is why we steal. Because we don't have, we want, and so we take. But once you find contentment, there's no need to steal. Lying is a byproduct of something as well. Lying isn't the thing unto itself. We lie for a very, very specific and very important reason. And I would say the reason is so important, we're willing to lie. We're willing to have this byproduct to meet because we can't meet this other need. You know what lying is a byproduct of? Lack of faith. And to really narrow it down, it's because of fear. You only lie because you have fear, right? I mean, why else would you lie? You fear something. And so because that fear is great, you then lie to try and control that fear. I mean, if you're a parent, you probably had kids lie to you about the craziest, dumbest things. And you say, why did you lie? They can't even put words to it, but you can see it. They just wanted acceptance. They wanted to be okay. They didn't feel their story was good enough, so they had to kind of sensationalize it some. They have a fear. It doesn't mean it's a rational fear, and it doesn't mean you created the fear. It just they have a fear. We all have fears in our lives, and we tend to lie whenever we're confronted with those fears. You see, we fear that people won't accept us. They won't accept us as we are, so we lie to make ourselves look or seem better. I've told this story before, but after being here for 17 years, I'm going to tell some stories again, I guess. My life's only so long. This was a big, significant moment in my faith journey. It was many years ago now, 20-some-odd years ago. I was serving as a volunteer in a student ministry program at First Baptist Church of Elk Grove in California. I was just a volunteer along with everybody else, and I was starting to hear maybe this call in my life that God wanted me to do something more. I was working in construction, and my life was just a mess because God was, I mean, he was really wrecking everything that I had kind of built my foundation on. But I was in this student ministry program, and in our student ministry program, it was September time, and in that student ministry program, they had an event in the local public schools called See You at the Pole. Now, what See You at the Pole was, is it was kids in their local Christian clubs on campus would pick a day in September, and they would stand around their flagpole, and they would pray for their school and their country and whatever they decided to pray for. It's kind of a, took a stand for their faith, and it was all student-led. And so the week before this event happened, the youth pastor, his name was Steve Schmidt, he said to all of us, he said, I want you guys, each one of you, to pick a school to go to, and then I want you to go there and support the kids. You don't lead it. You don't even join into the circle. You just stand back. You let the kids do it. But I just want you to be support there, that their church youth group is in support of them and just there for them. You can chat with the kids, and it'll be a good thing. I want you to go. So there were quite a few youth workers, but there was a guy I really liked there. His name was Ken Duffy. Now, Ken Duffy had been a youth worker more years than I have been alive still yet today. He was in his 60-something-year-old, I don't know, and he had always done youth ministry, always as a volunteer. He was the dorkiest, nerdiest-looking guy, and the kids loved him. And he just, I mean, if you could just sit under Ken Duffy's teaching on how to love on junior high kids, it was just amazing what this guy could do with junior high kids. And so Ken picked a school, and I picked a school, and you know, we all charge, you know, out of there like, you know, this is going to be awesome. The next week, Wednesday morning, was See at the Pole morning. So a full 7 days later, I was supposed to be at the school at 7 o'clock. That night after See at the Pole, I was on my way to the youth group after my day of work. And while driving to the youth group, I was kind of rolling through my head. I wonder what we're going to be talking about tonight. I wonder what Pastor Steve's going to teach the kids. And all of a sudden, I remembered, oh yeah, tonight's the See at the Pole rally after all the kids did See you at the... I didn't go. I completely forgot. And immediately I felt this tremendous guilt, right? I mean, I should, right? So yes. Yeah, I should have felt guilty because I said I would do it and I wasn't there. And here I thought, like, maybe God was calling me to do something different, or maybe he wanted me to be a pastor. Obviously not. When I don't even care about children praying at their school. Obvious. Pastor's not the route for me. I was just as guilty as could be. And we go that night, and my head is down. My posture probably looks like I've done something really bad. And Ken Duffy walks up to me. And he's like, oh my goodness, it was amazing. All these kids came to Christ in my school and Jesus came. And, you know, this is like Ken Duffy's ministry. That's the kind of thing that happened when Ken Duffy was around. And he goes, how was it at your school? Crossroad. I said, it was great. Really, how many kids were there? 30? I had no idea. Just guessing how many kids would go to this school. What happened? Went around the flagpole. They prayed. What did they pray about? Stuff. I got out of that conversation as quick as I could. I felt such shame. I felt like I let everybody down. I mean, not just me, not just Ken, not just the kids. I felt like I let God down. And the night went on. You know, good old Ken Duffy. There were even a couple times he said, yeah, Doug was over at such and such school. He said it was great over there. Oh, man, I got to use the bathroom. I just left. I want someone to come over and talk to me. And that night I went home and I couldn't even sleep that night. I knew that I had crossed a line that I didn't know how to get back across. And I knew that lies were building upon lies and building upon lies. And so the next morning, I called Ken on the phone. I mean, I was trembling. And I said, Ken, I lied to you. I was silent. And I said, I didn't go to the See at the Pole event. He said, you didn't? I said, no, I forgot all about it. And I'm embarrassed and I'm sorry. You know what Ken said to me? I said, that's okay. I forgive you. He said, you shouldn't lie, but I'm glad you told me the truth. He said, I love you. Kids love you. God loves you. It doesn't change any of that. You see, two things worked in my favor that morning. One was the Holy Spirit, and you'll all have that. When you tell a lie, the Holy Spirit will immediately tell you, you shouldn't have done that. You'll feel that conviction. And you've got to respond to that conviction. So I had that in my favor. We've all got that. But I had something else in my favor that I could only hope you'll have in your favor, but I can't guarantee it. I had Ken Duffy. And Ken Duffy lived a life that had a kind of soil that allowed me to confess to, because he was filled with grace. Ken Duffy extended the grace to me that he desperately needed from others. He knew that he was just as capable of falling short in any area of his life. And so he didn't lord it over me. He didn't beat me up with it. He just said, I forgive you. And you get to start brand new again. And my soul needed that. And we have to be the kind of people that have a soil in our lives that allow people to make a mistake. And to be able to confess that. And to not get beat up by it. Because beating the person up doesn't make them feel like they don't want to do it anymore. Actually, grace does it more than anything. A loving response that doesn't take advantage like you have a right to. But just says thank you and I forgive you. and we get to start again. You see, Ken Duffy, in many ways, taught me something that day that I remembered from that point forward. And that's that I don't want to be a liar. It hurt to lie to Ken, and in some ways it hurt even more that he didn't beat me up over it. I just really felt like he should have. I felt like I deserved it. He did not realize. I didn't even sleep all night. I deserve more punishment than this. But maybe Ken, in his wisdom, knew that I'd beat myself up enough. And so he just forgave. You see, we fear people won't accept us as we are, so we lie to make ourselves look or seem better. We sometimes fear that people will not act or behave in certain ways, so we lie in order to steer their behavior. But we fear it. We fear even the consequences of our own choices. So we lie to ourselves by justifying and rationalizing those choices. Or sometimes we just fear our own shortcomings, so we lie to bolster our persona in hopes that others will not see the real us, when the real you is what they do want to see. So I challenge all of us to abandon fear and embrace faith. Because wherever there's fear, you're going to have a tendency to lie. But really, if you just let go of the fear and just embrace faith and trust that God's got this one, that he can handle the truth and he can help you handle as you share your truth with others. Because faith says the truth and only the truth is what will set you free. Another lie won't do it. So here's how to do it. Let the chips fall where they may. Just let the chips fall where they may. You're going to share the truth, that just the chips are going to fall where they are. You're going to have some people that are Ken Duffy in your life, and I pray that they all are, but the truth is that you're going to sometimes share that you told a lie to a person, and that person is going to beat you over the head the rest of your days with that confession. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that we don't share the truth when we mess up, but our honesty maybe could help that person see that they don't have to beat you up. But you got to let the chips fall where they may. You also have to understand that people in general will appreciate the truth even if they don't like the truth. All of us would rather have truth shared to us than lies. I'd rather just know where you're at on something instead of you lying about it and then I'm deceived and I never can trust you. I don't know where you're at on anything. Just share the truth. I say this to my kids all the time. I don't care how bad the news is, just tell me the truth. I'm better with the truth. Oh, no, you're not. No, I really am. I am better with the truth. And I have to remember that as a parent, I have to have the soil of grace even for my kids. I mean, I want to lecture them lessons in life every opportunity I get. But I still have to have the soil of grace so they can share the truth. I prefer the truth than a lie in any situation because at least I know what the truth is and I can move forward and rebuild. But I can't rebuild on a house of cards. Also, I learned this with Ken. Telling the truth will help you make better choices in the future. When I confessed to Ken Duffy, I was motivated from that day forward to not tell lies anymore. And I never told another lie since then, except for this one. Now, I've told a lot less. And when I have told lies, I'm reminded of Ken's grace that he extended me that I didn't deserve. And I confess easier. Lies never make me feel good. Truth always relieves my burden. Always. Next, I think you need to pay attention to the way that you share the truth. Let's say a husband and wife have young kids and they split up. For whatever biblical reason, they need time apart. There are things that we would share with our children and things we wouldn't share with our children. And we don't lie to our children, but we share the truth that they can handle and the portions of that truth that they can handle. But you don't just dump big adult things on your kids. See what I mean? That's not lying to your children. That's paying attention to what is necessary to be shared in this. Sometimes we feel like we need to confess things in our life, and that's a good thing. Pay attention to that. But realize that sometimes your confession will do more harm when you start confessing and talking about things that this person was never injured by, and you are now injuring them because you want to feel better inside you. That is not necessarily the loving way to share truth. You share the pieces that you need to share in the way that you offended this person so that you can get their forgiveness for that. But it doesn't mean you just unload all of your baggage on this person and hurt them further. I mean, this is not black and white stuff, but in case you didn't realize this, faith isn't black and white. There isn't always the right and wrong. The Bible is filled with the gray area. And it's in that gray area that maturity is there and responsibility is there. And you have to decide, what is the best way for me to be truthful to a person and not lie in any way, shape, or form, but at the same place, pay attention to the truth that I'm sharing in a way that benefits this person and heals our relationship and does what confession is supposed to do instead of hurting even deeper. I usually suggest that if you're wondering about this, never venture into this alone, but pick someone that you can say, this is what I've done, this is how I hurt this person, this is what I'm planning to say to them, what do you think? Someone you trust. Get another person to kind of hear that filter and find the most loving, grace-filled way to share your lie or the way that you've hurt the person. If this is scary for you, start with just one safe person. Find a Ken Duffy, someone that's got good soil, and confess. And practice that. Maybe tell this person, every week I'd like to meet with you and confess a way that I've hurt you. All by lunch. But just start with one safe person, tell the truth. And then admit a lie as soon as you tell it. If you've been around me before, we've been in a relationship together a long time, you might have heard me say this once in a while. But there's been times I'm talking to somebody, and I mean, my nature's the same as yours, and all of a sudden I say something that just isn't true, or it's twisted just a little bit, or it makes me look just a little bit better than the real situation was. And I will say this, the words come out of my mouth, the person starts to respond like, that's really awesome, you know, and I say, wait. That wasn't true. Sometimes that really wrecks the conversation, I'll be honest with you. But there are times that the person appreciates it. It's also awkward when they thank me for it, like they congratulate me. Thank you, you're awesome, you told the truth. Wait, I just lied to you, don't like pat me on the back. But the quicker you admit it, the better. Don't let more stuff build on it, lies on top of lies, and then you have to hang on to this thing. And when you hear it, Holy Spirit convicts you, just stop the conversation and say, what I said wasn't true. What I should have said was this. People will give you a lot more grace the quicker you are in the process, especially when they can see that you're a dork in process, just like they are. Be Ken Duffy. Give grace. Give others the grace to be truthful with you. Because you need that same grace. And this is the last part that's total gray area. Conceal part of the truth is not necessarily a lie. This isn't your out. But to conceal a piece of the truth isn't necessarily a lie. Like I said, you may share something different with a child, the truth of a situation, than all of the details, because they can only handle what they can handle. But you still share truth. You just may not share all of that information. When your spouse comes out of the dressing room and says, do these pants make my butt look big? Do you know how to respond? You look awesome in anything you wear.
But your butt looks big.
No, you don't say it. You look awesome in anything you wear. It's more important that you like it. I have no good opinion. I mean, you share truth, but you don't have to hurt someone just for the sake of hurting them. An omission of some of the information, as long as truth is being shared, is still truthful. Just you don't always have to pile on this other stuff, which is where people get this idea that there's some badge of honor you get to wear because you say all the things that hurt everybody around you because it's true. Maybe true, but it doesn't mean you have to share it like that. You can share something positive and encouraging. You don't just have to hurt somebody for the sake of hurting them. We're not impressed by that. We're hurt by that, and we want you to stop it. And ask the people in your life, if you're one of those that says, hey, I'm just a truth sharer, it's the way it goes. You ask the people around you. You know what they're going to do? They're going to lie to you. Because you're hard to tell the truth to. Because your soil's rocky. You want people to share the truth with you. You have to have a soil that allows grace and doesn't lord it over someone. Now I'm going to give one more qualifier. And I don't really know how to package this up for you. I'm just going to be honest with you because we're talking about being truthful. I go to South Sudan. There are people in South Sudan that would imprison me or kill me for being a follower of Christ or for bringing Christ into a certain situation. And if I get stopped by customs or I got stopped in some place and my life was in danger or one of my colleagues was in danger and they said, you know, like Sherry Goosey went with me, if they maybe are questioning her and they came to me and they said, is she bringing Bibles into this village? Because if she is, we're going to kill her. You know what I'd say? Nope, she's not. I'd lie. Bold face. And you could tell me that I'm wrong, and I accept that. Because I think that when evil is the intention, my safety and protection of those around me that I love is most important. Not that I spoke the truth on a certain situation. Now, I know you can kind of knock that down, but you go through the scriptures, you're going to see a lot of lying in the scripture that God seems to be going right along with and doesn't ever say there's a problem with it. Remember Abraham and Sarah? What was their relationship? Brother and sister? Art, you're a liar. They weren't. What were they? Husband and wife. But he said she was his sister. And why? Protect himself and her. Because if he would have said, that's my wife, she'd have got taken off. I mean, it'd have been the end of them. He lied. And God goes, I'm all good. Now, I can't button that up nice and neat for you. It's a rare situation. So please don't, like, use this every time you tell a lie. Well, there's lies in the Bible. And Pastor Doug said it's okay to lie sometimes. So that's the way it is. And, you know, when it comes to a birthday party, oh my goodness, come on. That's not lying. That's the surprise. We're all good with that. Okay? So don't get legalistic here, all right? I'm taking you somewhere else, but it's so that I can have all these people who love you pop up and say happy birthday to you. I'm not going to get into these kind of little nitpicky things. But you know when you lie and you shouldn't lie. And the damage that those lies can do. And that's where the Bible says don't lie. And that's what we shouldn't do. And that's probably 99.99999% of what we lie about. It's what we shouldn't lie about. Deal? All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your truth. And your truth, as we say it, we realize we just handle so superficially. But I pray that you'll help each one of us put off the old way and put on something new, to get rid of the lies and just put on truth. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will convict us and that when we feel that conviction, we'll respond to it. And Lord, I do pray that you will create in us a soil that people can be truthful about and we will extend the grace to them that you give to us. And Lord, I guess selfishly too, I just pray that you'll help others respond to our truth in a grace-filled way too. But even if they don't, help us be truthful and to share that truth in love. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. All right, next week we've got our communion service. The week after that, we start a brand new series, The Things That You Can't Find on Google, Questions Google Can't Answer. So we'll have a little fun with that in September. God bless you. Thanks for coming. You are dismissed.